The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
All right, welcome to the podcast. Well, it's Jeffy and myself, Stu, here.
Black Friday special.
On a Black Friday special for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program today. I want to tell you, next week we're going to be in Tampa and Orlando, November 30th and December 1st. Go to glennbeck.com/tour to pick up your tickets. We would love to see you there, and if you don't, you're a communist. On today's, speaking of communists, on today's program, we go through the entire list of potential Democratic candidates for 2020. Figure out, you know,
fascinating list.
It is a fascinating list. I feel like there's maybe 8 to 10 real candidates in there, if it's that high. But there, I think there's something like 40 on the list so far. They think it could be, honestly, some of those people won't run, but that list could be in the 20s.
And we added a couple to their list, list that they that was printed. But it's so strange to actually start breaking them down, and you think, wow, these people actually are going to be out in our face. So some of it's going to be fun, and some of it's going to be agonizing.
We've got a long year and a half.
I know.
I also kind of do a little rant on Black Friday, and earlier, whether a store should be open on Thanksgiving or not. I'm pro-capitalism. I've got a pretty strong opinion on that one.
Yeah, you convinced me. I was all for stores being closed and shutting everything down, but you convinced me.
I'll make the case. And we go through some of the strange stuff going on, including whether you should have a free pass in your marriage, whether you should be able to have a social credit system with the government and what they're going to do to limit what you do in your life, and whether terrorist threats at chicken restaurants are appropriate. We found one that, I don't know, it's really gross. It's a gross one.
It is a gross reference.
But we'll give it to you.
It is a gross reference. And, you know, really what you should do, I know you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program podcast, but really you should just listen to Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher podcast. And let's be clear, that's the only one I care about.
I will say for that for those types of stories, this is the place to go. Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher. Go subscribe to that now and then come back and finish listening to the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. It's Friday, November 23rd. Glenn Beck.
Welcome to Black Friday. Yes, it's the day for people who actually have the energy to get off their own couches and go out to stores and shop. People used to do these things. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Are there people that do that?
It's Stu with Jeffy here today for Glenn Beck. Apparently there are. I'm always amazed by this because, first of all, this is very difficult for me to do, which is getting out of my house today and coming in and doing a radio show when I could be sleeping and eating more leftovers. And I barely have the energy to do this. And this is a job where you just talk. Like, there's no heavy lifting. There's not a lot going on here. But I'm amazed by people who are able to do that. And if that's you, more power to you, supporting the economy, all those things. Consumption, consumption, consumption. I believe in it. I'm supportive of it. And I think a lot of people would disagree with that. But there's a poll that came out. I really don't. I really think it's fantastic. And the people always bash consumption. They always say that this time of year shouldn't be about the gifts. And I guess that there are other things. Right? Certainly there are. There are other things other than stuffing your fat face and putting presents under the tree. There are other important things, but there's nothing wrong with presents. There's nothing wrong with the wonder of the Thanksgiving dinner. However, one of the things that comes around this kind of time of year, and it's popped its head up again, is the idea that stores are evil for opening on Thanksgiving. 57% of people say they are opposed to stores being open on Thanksgiving, getting Black Friday started early. Only 16% are in favor. Well, you know what? I am the 16%, okay? I like the fact that they're open on Thanksgiving. And I think that there's this thing where, we kind of look at this and you know, politicians are now embracing this, trying to shut down stores. There's pressure groups assigned to pressure these, you know, retail outlets to make sure that they're closed. The latest one, there's 70 big stores will be closed on Thanksgiving. There's a huge list of them, and you know, everything from American Girl to Lowe's to Costco, Crate and Barrel, Dillard's. Now, of course, they were all closed yesterday, so you didn't need to go there. Now you can go there, and now you can spend your money 24 hours later, and apparently that's going to make everything better. But, you know, if you're one of the people that look at this and say, this just sounds like an anti-capitalist argument, well, congratulations, you're right. Now, this argument comes almost exclusively from the left, although some people on the right kind of make it too. And you can tell it's BS because when is the last time the left defended traditional family values? When is the last time the left became so incredibly passionate about your Thanksgiving gathering because they just couldn't get enough of those good old family values? How common is that? Yes, sure, they just happen to be taking shots at capitalism. Sure, they just happen to be berating employers and small businesses around the country. Sure, they're doing that too, but the real motivation is they just love those mashed potatoes so much. They can't get enough of them. They can't get enough of a family dinner. The left is not suddenly for traditional values. This is just yet another argument against capitalism. And I think a lot of people would say, well, I don't want to go out and go shopping on Thanksgiving. I want to spend time with my family. Well, good for you. If that's you, good for you, right? But that does not mean that that is good for everybody. Individuals make the choice. Individuals get to make the choice. They get to decide, hey, you know what? My family happens to suck. And maybe I don't want to spend all day with them. Maybe I want to leave immediately and get to a store, and it better be open because I can't just drive around in circles the whole day.
But I will.
But I will if I have to. And, you know, look, I happen to have a family I like, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people show up to Thanksgiving dinner and would love to have the excuse of, I've got to go to Lowe's. There's a bracket I need right now.
Some of us have family that say, isn't there something you could be doing?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with that either. We don't. This is the point. When you're a conservative, when you're a person who believes, who's an individualist, we don't make mass decisions for everybody. If a store wants to stay closed, well, fine. Let them stay closed. If they want to open, let them open. You're not losing anything by allowing people to make decisions on their own. If you don't want to go shop, don't go and shop. And this is, of course, you know, typical progressivism here, where you're able to, you know, they're going to make decisions for you. Now, I think the argument goes, because that's too easy, right? Like they know they're going to lose that argument. So the argument goes, well, what we're doing is we're just protecting the worker. You see, what happens is someone goes gets a job at Lowe's, and they have to work, and therefore are, you know, forced to go to work when they don't want to. They can't spend time with their family because these evil corporations.
Right. They want you to work.
Right. These evil profit seekers want to make sure they want to force the average Joe to go work instead of having a turkey dinner at home. And again, it's clear by the way they talk about it that it reveals it's just a shot against capitalism, right? I mean, like, yes. These evil corporations, this is the same standard crap you hear about the, you know, the minimum wage and the corporate income tax and every other, oh, they want to cut regulations? Well, what about the average Joe who's protected by those regulations? It's the same argument. But it is important to realize that you have to look at this in multiple ways. First of all, if you are an employee who works at a place that is open on Thanksgiving, you do have a choice. You do. Just like if you want free abortions covered by your work health care and free contraception covered by your work health care, you have a choice to go to another employer. The progressive argument on that fact is, no, every employer has to offer these things, right?
Right.
But you actually have a choice, right? Conservatives believe the employer should have the choice, and if you decide you don't want to work for that employer, you go to another one. And you might say, well, you know, first of all, most employees work under an employer that is closed on Thanksgiving. Almost all businesses are closed on Thanksgiving. And that only gives you the choice of almost all employers when you're looking for a job. Okay? I understand that you might be really annoyed. I know that we've had, in my family, we've had, there's always multiple Thanksgivings going on, and we would adjust the time of Thanksgiving.
Wait, yeah, what?
Lots of Thanksgivings. But, you know, you have family members, right? You have one side of the family has Thanksgiving at one place, one side has another place, and a lot of people are bouncing back and forth. They're going to multiple houses, right? And we would adjust the times to make sure that those meals coincided when people were available. There'd Correct. Be an earlier one and a later one.
Because perhaps someone had to work.
Right, maybe someone had to work.
I can be there after 4. Okay.
Okay, that's when we have dinner. If you're important enough, if it's that important.
Otherwise, it's like, yeah, with leftovers are in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Good to see you.
You learn a little bit about your standing in the family when they're like, ah, well, the mashed potatoes, they're still kind of warm. They're sitting on the counter.
We were going to wait, but we didn't.
We didn't. But the other side of this, too, is ask employees. Ask people who work in retail, who are not always the most highly compensated employees in America, when they're making $10 an hour working at a retail job, ask them if they want to make $20 an hour for one day. If they want to make time and a half or double time or in some cases triple time for working on Thanksgiving, we're going to take that choice away from the employees that are not the highest earning in our society. We're going to take that away from them because it makes us feel good about traditional family values, which there's no way the left or the media actually cares about at all.
No.
It's not even a realistic point. But the other thing is, I love the idea that retail is the only thing we focus on. Think about your Thanksgiving day. This is what my Thanksgiving day was when I was growing up. You'd get up in the morning and you'd flip on the parade.
Of course.
The good old traditional Thanksgiving parade. And you'd watch the big fat balloons go down in between the city blocks in New York. And you'd wonder, how is this so popular? It's just a bunch of slow-moving balloons. I cannot get my kids into it to save my life. They just
really?
Don't. They're not impressed. Okay? But guess what? What you're watching is tens of thousands of people working. They're all working. The Pokemon balloon didn't blow itself up and fly down Fifth Avenue.
And they are not all volunteers.
No, some of them are, but I mean that some of them are not.
Yeah.
You go to a turkey trot in the morning. I know Jeffy's a big runner.
You can't keep me away from the distance, turkey trot. I like the early ones. Get up early. Get started.
Guess what's happening? Those people are working there. Then you go and it's time to go off to grandma's house for Thanksgiving. And on the way there, well, we got to stop for gas at a gas station where people are working. They're working there. Maybe you stop for a quick coffee or soda at a McDonald's where people are working. Then, of course, you get to the place. You get to grandma's house and we never got those rolls. We never got those dinner rolls. We got to go out to the quick grocery store run. Well, let's make a quick grocery store run, you know, where people are working. And then you get inside and you're back inside. You're getting ready. The meal's coming together. Nice family time. And you know what? You look outside and wow, is it cold out there? But it's not cold in here. Why isn't it cold in here? Because heat is running from a corporation that is producing that heat. And there's a lot of employees there right now on Thanksgiving working. How about that electricity? Oh, isn't that a wonder? Modern wonder. Isn't it fantastic that the lights are all on in here? There aren't magic elves in your wall running on hamster wheels to turn some magical power generation. There is a power plant. And yes, they probably have less people than normal, but there's a lot of people there working.
Right.
Oh, but then the traditional Thanksgiving, you have the meal, you sit down, this is what I did yesterday, a fat gut just falling out of your shirt, and you flip on that TV, and you watch the traditional football game where, you got to watch the Cowboys, and unfortunately, it's your choice, but you got the Cowboys, you got the Lions, and you got now apparently another third game.
Yeah, you have to have a third. Cover the day.
By the way, completely in favor of the third game. What football all day. But guess what you're seeing when you turn that on? You're seeing, first of all, two teams worth of players and coaches and everybody else. They're all working. And guess what's how are you seeing this magical thing? Well, I don't know, progressives. Guess what you're seeing? You're seeing people boarding cameras. And you're seeing people directing shows. And you're seeing all sorts of things going on. And all of those people are in the stadium and at home and the home office working. And then you're seeing tons of people who parked all these cars, parking attendants, and people who are inside the stadium running the concessions.
No, those aren't open.
No, they are.
Right?
They're all open and they're all working. And it's like, well, this is, and of course, these are all, some of those are really important. You have to have electricity and heat, of course. And this is just mindless consumerism. It's just shopping. It's just shopping. And if you need to shop so badly, just shop online. Here's a crazy secret. This is going to be, I know the left is going to be shocked by this, but you know what? Over at Amazon, there's a lot of people on Thanksgiving working. They're all working for your benefit on these days. You know, this is all
family values.
Family values, right. It has nothing to do with family values. These places, they're people out there doing their jobs every day. And because we ignore all these thousands and thousands of people, we only have to stop, you know, some retail outlet from actually opening up. And here's the thing. This is the craziest part of this. Black Friday today is called that because, okay, well, this is the day that theoretically retailers get into the black for the year, right?
Right.
They run in the red all year, and then the Christmas season comes, Black Friday, it turns to the black. Now, that's not actually true, but that's why it was called that. I've got news for you. It's a lot harder for retailers to get in the black than it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, all these places, there's no more Toys R Us locations in the United States. It's hard for these companies to actually make it by. We're going to take a giant shopping day away from them because the left tells us they care suddenly about traditional family values.
I know. You know, it sounds good.
It does sound good.
It does kind of sound good.
It does.
I mean, it makes you feel good. That nostalgic for the days when nothing was open and you'd go. And I mean, what if you don't have it, you don't need it.
I understand it, you know, that, and that's, of course, true, but that is not my decision to make for everybody else.
No, it is not. And, by the way, it sounds good when you say, yeah, you know, I don't want those open. I want to be able to stay home. We're out of milk. All right, I'll be right back.
Exactly. And you run to a store where people are
working. I told you to get milk yesterday. Why didn't you? I thought we had enough. All right, I'll go.
I would think about, this is a giant movement in the name of traditional family values that is basically giving, like, Amazon doesn't need another advantage. They're open all the time.
Right.
They don't need yet another advantage here. I love Amazon. I have nothing against them. But like when traditional retailers are already getting killed by places like Amazon, and you're going to take one of the most profitable theoretical days of the year away from them because you think, you know, people should stay home with a family they may or may not like.
I know.
It's quite presumptuous to tell everybody else what they need to do on Thanksgiving.
I know.
I don't like it. I don't like the idea that governments are now getting involved in it. I don't like the pressure group element of it. I didn't go out shopping yesterday. I didn't want to. I wanted to spend time with my family. Somehow, Jeffy wanted to spend time with his family, too. I know they didn't want to spend time with him.
Remember, I used the example of, isn't there something you should be doing?
Yeah, true. Let's take a minute here, like, and realize that just because I happen to like it and Jeffy happens to like staying home with our families, that doesn't mean everybody has to.
No,
they should
don't.
Be able to run away as much as you want.
Absolutely.
It's
and by
America.
The way, those movies that everybody went to see fell in love with over the weekend, amazingly, those don't just show up on the screen.
No, there are people there working. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. By the way, well, welcome to Black Friday. If you made the choice to stay home with your family and run out the second. I love it. Like, oh, we care about traditional family values. By the way, stores open at 4 a.m.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
If you happen to be in a deep, deep holiday depression today, keep this in mind. We are in the season of the 2020 election already. And
yes,
good things ahead. 2 freaking years of a presidential election. But this one's going to be a lot of fun because this time we have a massive field of Democrats who are going to be beating each other up for the next year and a half.
Oh, that's good.
And that is going to be massively entertaining.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
It is going to be really fun. So get used to it. But I will say that something happened in a college football game the other day that actually kind of reminds me of how I feel about just politics in general. Every time I think about Washington, I think just like this referee-ism.
Of the play is a touchdown. After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct on all players from both teams. That'll be their first unsportsmanlike conduct foul.
I think I've ever heard that before. All players on both teams?
Every team.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can now.
Apparently you can.
Everybody gets a check mark. You're done.
I love that. I honestly did not know you could just call mass, like, collective penalties like that, but I like it.
Well, instead of, I mean, it's probably been done where they've called it on the team.
I guess.
But that was just the way he said it was great.
All players on both teams.
Look, we are all on sports with like conduct right now.
Mm-hmm. And if that's how you feel about Washington, wait until this next year and a half. This is going to be amazing. I want to spend some time on Black Friday. As you're driving and going out and you're doing your Black Friday shopping, or you're more likely actually, you know, doing anything else if you're smart, because I don't want to go anywhere near these stores today, but it's a whole other story. We have a list of the potential candidates who are going to take on Donald Trump in 2020.
Well, not only will this be fun to watch and fun to have, it'll be fun to hear who they think can beat him.
Right. Now, as I'm scrolling through, the list is pretty expansive.
Really?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. I see 40 here if I counted that right. And by the way, there are already a couple of names that are not on this list that I think are very possible. So if you notice any, Jeffy, if you think of any during the time that might be on the list,
I'm interested to hear the 40, though.
Okay, here we go.
This got to be, because some of these people cannot honestly believe that they have a shot.
Oh, no. I think there are a lot of different reasons you run for president. Like, why do you keep your name in the running? Because you're relevant until you take it off that list.
That's true.
As soon as you say, I'm not running, and people believe you. Now, this is not like Beto O'Rourke, right? Like, Beto says, oh, I'm not running, and nobody believes him.
Right.
So no
not
one takes
chance.
Him off the list. But when you are convincing and you take your name off the list, everyone forgets about you. You can't sell any books. You can't book speeches. It's all dead. it's such a scam. It's a money grab for a lot of these people, or a power grab, right? Like, you're trying to raise your name up in the list so people will think that you're relevant.
Heaven forbid they just stick to the job that we elected them to do in the first place as congressman or senator.
That's terrible. Well, let's start there. We'll start with senators. Okay, here we go. We've got a list of 40 here. And if you have anyone else you think is not on this list, feel free to call in. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn today, who's still eating mashed potatoes.
I'm pretty sure he probably is.
Probably is. Okay, they're the first on the list, and this is not in any particular order other than they're grouped them by, you know, the place they're coming from. For example, we start with senators, okay? Cory Booker. Cory Booker, to me, has no chance of being president. And I should never say that, because every time I say it, that person's president. Right, I said it about Barack Obama. I was like, this guy's been senator for 2 years. What, he's not going to be president? And then he's president.
Right,
we've seen this happen over and over again. So Cory Booker, we all know that he had his I Am Spartacus moment.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm. And this is why the big indication is he's going to run, because he did everything he could to grandstand during the Kavanaugh thing. The I Am Spartacus thing was his way of saying, I am such an extreme opponent of a conservative justice, I will break the law to stop him. Now, that was his case. We know he didn't break the law. He was just,
right.
Think about that. He was actually saying, no. It's a police officer pulling you over and go, by the way, you were not speeding. Yes, I was. I sure was speeding. And I was drunk and I'm reckless driving too. Like, he was trying to convince everyone he was super tough. So the incentives are, he was trying to signal a 2020 run, trying to get activists on his side. I do not think it worked.
I don't think it worked either. He doesn't, I don't know. Again, I don't want to say that he's not going to do it, because we have been wrong, but he doesn't seem likable enough.
Yeah. and let's rate these as we go through. Do they have any chance of being the Democratic nominee? And do they have any chance of beating Donald Trump if they are?
I mean, I could see Corey maybe on the at the VP level.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. We'll add that question too. So there's three questions. I like this.
Maybe.
VP, nominee,
maybe,
and beating Trump.
Spartacus to ride along.
I think that's the only one he has a chance for is VP. And I think that would be a very bad decision by the Democrats, but it's possible.
Too.
All right, we got 40 of these, so let's go. The second one, Sherrod Brown. He is the senator from Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
He just won an easy election in a state that is known as a swing state, but is leading red lately. What he's known for, of course, is the Democrat that keeps winning in Ohio. This is according to Politico, by the way, put together this list. He has, of course, been focusing on reelection for this last campaign. People are thinking he's a kind of a left-wing populist. In a somewhat red state that continues to win, an important state for the election, would this be a good candidate?
No way. So
let's go up the list here. Could he be a VP candidate? I think the answer is
maybe.
Yes.
Maybe,
it could be. Could he be the nominee? This is a question here. I think it's possible. I think there's a path there for Sherrod Brown. I think it's a narrow path. And I think the issue with him is he's not going to be seen as an extremist activist favorite. He's not going to get a lot of the left-wing love. He's only going to get left-wing love.
As a VP runner, though, he brings you Ohio,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
And, well, yeah,
that's
okay.
The thought.
Right. And he's not known enough to where he could be, you know, I'm not that extreme. I'm on your side.
Right. It's the VP one I can definitely see. Because especially if you get a more left-wing candidate, more activist-level candidate running, you could see them. Okay, Sherrod Brown he's been around. It's kind of it's not a sexy pick, but you could see somebody picking him as a VP. I do not think he's people like him against Trump on the Democratic side.
Oof.
The people who argue for him because he could pick off some of that was the area that Trump won that other previous Republicans like Romney didn't, right? That area, right?
Like guys between, like Cory Booker and Sherrod, I don't know that they know what they're up against.
I don't think so either. All right, so there we go. Kirsten Gillibrand, she's the senator from New York. She's, of course, been big on the Me Too thing. She's been kind of the public face as far as senators go on the Me Too thing. She said that Bill Clinton should have resigned during the Monica Lewinsky scandal. She led the campaign to get Al Franken to resign as well.
Right.
She's already visited New Hampshire and Nevada. And she's gone to... She's kind of been known as a... not a super far left Democrat. Again, we're talking degrees of left here. So I understand that she's very liberal, but she's been trying to position herself as a little more moderate than the far left people. She also, though, has now been lately moving left to try to attract those activists. She was saying she wants to abolish ICE, for example. I mean, this is a very far left wing. And a federal jobs guarantee. I mean, these are multiple trillion dollar policies that she's supporting.
No, she could. I could see her definitely running.
Definitely. I mean, I definitely running.
Yeah.
That's the fourth question. Is she going to run? Okay, now we're going to go. Will she run? I think the answer to that
is yes. Absolutely. 100%.
Could she be a VP? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
Could she be the nominee?
I don't know.
I wouldn't completely rule it out.
I don't know.
Could she beat Donald Trump? I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so.
No way.
It's not impossible, I guess, but I don't think so. Again, you got to understand, too, that the climate could be a little bit different than it is right now. If the economy goes south, almost anybody can beat Donald Trump. That economy has to stay together, and that is going to be very difficult. If it doesn't stay together, there's going to be a lot of trouble there in this campaign. Next up, Tim Kaine. The most forgettable VP candidate in history. Somebody, I bet 80% of Hillary Clinton voters could not name who they voted for
on that VP ticket.
He was a giant zilch.
He brought nothing to that.
Brought nothing to that ticket.
That was too bad. I mean,
that did not work at all.
It didn't work at all.
At all. Again, you can always second guess these things. But like people beat up on the McCain pick of Sarah Palin. And it's like, well, Palin at least energized the base for McCain. It was the only reason I voted for him, to be honest, at that time.
You can argue that
they were going to win Alaska anyway. But yes, okay. But I mean, I think too, when you look at the exit polling, more people voted for the ticket because of Sarah Palin than voted against it because of Sarah Palin. So, I mean, I don't know. It didn't wind up working. And I think, McCain second-guessed it before his death. But he He was, I mean, I don't know how you argue in Kane's favor here. He did nothing. He had a chance in the spotlight and did nothing with it. It cannot be. He's not going to run. He cannot be the vice president. He's not going to be the nominee, and there's no way he could beat Trump. All of those
agreed.
Things, I think we're agreed on.
Yes.
Amy Klobuchar, she is the senator from Minnesota. She is, talked about in Democratic circles as a centrist. She is, I don't necessarily believe that, of course, but that's the way she's talked about. She is a Democrat in a state that leans blue, but was pretty close in 2016. There are now two female senators. I think, too, the female advantage here is important. I would be stunned if one of the two places on that ticket are not a woman.
Yeah, again, they almost have to be.
This is a party that is obsessed with identity.
Yeah, they almost have to be.
And I think Klobuchar, absolute VP candidate as a possibility. Do you think she'll run? I think there's a good chance of it.
Really?
I'm not sold.
I don't know.
But she's not particularly well known outside of her state. Could she be the nominee? I think there's a path there. I think there's a path for almost every woman on this list that hasn't shown themselves to be particularly awful. We'll get to some of those in a bit. Can she beat Trump? That's gonna be tough. You got to have a fighter in that role, I think.
Yes.
I think they learned their lesson from that.
And they have to have someone that can, someone that can take up, a fighter. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to say it. They've got to be able to take those punches and punch back.
And punch back well. Hillary Clinton was terrible at that. She could not do it at all. And I think it was probably her biggest downfall as far as that election went. Now, look, her policies were all terrible, too. But Democrats don't care about that. The people who could have voted for Hillary and decided instead to vote for Trump, I think just saw her as just not incapable. If she can't deal with the pressure there, can she deal with, the Vladimir Putins of the world? Look, she was Secretary of State in a period that wasn't exactly successful, in my estimation. But, we'll see. Jeff Merkley, he is the senator from Oregon. he is the only U.S. senator to endorse Bernie Sanders in 2016. So you see the approach he's going for here.
Jeff Merkley.
He's a big climate guy. Climate extremist in my mind, but he's a big climate guy. He has been open about the possibility of running. He's visited the early states. He's reportedly hired staffers in Iowa and Nevada with a pack there. Again, maybe he's going to run. It seems like he's leaning that way. I do not think he's a serious contender for the nomination.
No way.
Someone's going to grab that Bernie Sanders mantle there, and it may or may not be Bernie himself. We'll get to him here in a second. But I don't think it's going to be Merkley. He's not known well enough. Could he be a VP candidate even? I mean, the only way I could see that happening is if you had a someone who you was really considered to be a centrist Democrat somehow won, and they wanted to pull someone over to get the left wing on their side.
Jeff Merkley, because I actually looked him up. I really meant it. Who?
Yeah.
Education, Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs.
There you go.
Number one.
There you go. We're going through the 2020 candidates for president of the United States. It's Stu and Jeffy in for Glenn. And we're down to Elizabeth Warren. Now, when I talked just a moment ago about how you need to have someone, if you want to beat Donald Trump, they're going to have to pick somebody who can fight and hang and deal with the pressure of the sort of stuff he brings, right?
Right.
Like Pocahontas, right? She has proved she cannot handle that.
I know.
She is the ultimate example of somebody who is, if they name her the nominee, if she gets that gig, she is going to get destroyed by Donald Trump.
That's for sure.
And look, obviously, I don't want Elizabeth Warren to be president, so go ahead and name her because she's going to lose. But stranger things have happened in the world, and so I do not want her being president of the United States.
Boy, it's possible that they run her, though.
She's one of the top-tier people. I will say I think she destroyed her chances with this whole, I went to 23andMe.com, and they said I was 1,000th Native American. It was handled
was a
so poorly.
Dumb move.
So dumb. Poorly. That I think, unfortunately, Democrats got the idea, she's going to be a disaster if she's the nominee. Listen to this. This is from a podcast. 538 did a podcast going through a bunch of the nominees as well a couple weeks ago. And the crowd is very Democratic. Like, they're cheering Amy Klobuchar. And they're inside politics people, right? So listen to the crowd reaction, however, to Elizabeth Warren. Listen to this.
So, Claire, who is the number one overall choice in our 2020 Democratic primary draft?
I am sticking with my last first-round choice of Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren. Okay, there it is. They don't like that play.
All right. I mean, that is not, it's not an endorsement.
They don't like that.
I'll tell you that. And I think that's smart. She cannot. She's not, I mean, I think she's going to run, but I do not think she has a chance of winning. How about Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is next up on the list.
No way.
We're going through, I think there's 40 of these, by the way. Bernie Sanders, can he win the nomination? I mean, he finished second last time. He was competitive with Hillary. There's an argument to be made.
I know.
But I do feel like he's old news, right?
Yes, he is old news. And he's old.
And he's old. He's 77.
I mean, that's, look, Elizabeth Warren has that issue, too. I mean, everybody wants to think of her as the little young spring chicken senator, but she's not.
No, she is.
She's, what, 67,
69,
68? Yeah, okay.
69. Look, Donald Trump's not young either, though. But I think, like, that's a smart thing for the Democrats to do is probably pick somebody who can make that point, right? If you're
right.
If you got a 50-year-old candidate, you could say, look, I mean, he, you know, Donald Trump's the old policy of the past. You know they're going to say it anyway. Bernie Sanders will be, I'm the future of Marxism. You know, like, wow, what a dive into the future there, Bernie. But I don't think he's going to win. I would be stunned if he is the guy. I think they can get the same policies from somebody in a better package. Because when Bernie came out the first time, people were like, oh, well, there's a lot of socialists in the Democratic Party. Yeah, but they didn't say it.
Nope, they did not.
They didn't admit it back then. Not.
And Bernie, one of the things that Bernie does is that, you know, despite disliking him and his old, he's actually, you know, he's not dumb. He knows how to word his stuff. And where you have what's-her-face from New York, you're not going to get that from her. It's too soon.
Ocasio-Cortez, yeah. that you're talking about. Well, luckily, she's at least 7 years away from having a chance to run for president. But who knows
in this world.
Yeah.
That needs to change. I don't know who's responsible for that.
Yeah, exactly. Bernie, I don't think it's going to happen for Bernie here. But it's not completely impossible. You have to think that there's a path there. And you hate whenever you get to a one-on-one, you know, a lot of it has to do with what's happening at the time. If, you know, a major world event. I mean, no one could have beaten Barack Obama in 2008 because of the financial collapse. Right. It happened a month before. We were in the middle of a massive recession, no matter who the Democrats trotted out there. And if they had a socialist, we would have elected one. And now Barack Obama was pretty close in many ways to a socialist. But yes. let me give you the determination, the difference here. Bernie Sanders in 2013 came out with a proposal for Medicare for everyone, universal health care. He got no co-sponsors. Zero. Now, almost everyone on this list of senators I just gave you has openly supported that bill. That's how far we've come in a very short time. But again, remember, we're talking about Democrats voting for this. So can that happen?
Possible.
I think it can.
That's
Kamala Harris is in the top
Sadly,
tier.
I think that's true.
Mark Warner from Virginia, I don't know. Right?
I mean, no.
How about this, Jimmy? I'll go through these names. A lot of them are going to get more obscure.
We all know the only. Okay, let's go through the list. I mean, we all know the most important person from Virginia is Jim Gilmore.
I don't think Jim's running this time.
No, he's not. He's giving it a rest, but it's okay.
If you have one that we want to expand on, you can stop me. But I think we're going to go through some
Mark
of these
Warner,
and just say,
no,
you know, no. How about John Delaney? He's a U.S. representative from Maryland.
No.
Right? He's not going to be the nominee. This one's interesting, though. Tulsi Gabbard? Now, Tulsi Gabbard, I've never heard her name
Tulsi
before.
Gabbard.
She is a U.S. representative from Hawaii. She was apparently a major in the Army National Guard and Hawaii representative.
She is actually, I've seen her speak a couple of times. She's really good. But nobody knows who she is.
Yes.
Again, that's the problem.
Now, this opens us up to a different level of running for president. You don't always run for president to be president. Sometimes you run for president
to be known, recognized,
a vice presidential possibility. And sometimes you run just to get known. Get your name from 0%. Understanding to 30-40%. So next time when you want to run, you have a chance. This
she
might
would,
be what we're looking
that.
At here. She's 37 years old.
Yeah, she would do that.
And she's a Bernie Sanders sort
she
of
sure
Democrat. Her approach to foreign policy, including a visit with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, put her outside many in the Democratic mainstream. I don't know if that's true, but that would be an interesting thing to talk about. But she has gone to early states, and apparently, again, it doesn't seem like this time would be the time for her, but it's someone to consider long term.
She needs to be recognized. I mean, you're right. If she runs, it's because she wants people to know who she is, and she needs to do that.
Yeah, expand. Again, and Hawaii is not a great state to come from. However, obviously, we've seen someone born in Hawaii become president. Also, I would argue the main one here is the potential is VP here. There's not, if you have a Bernie Sanders actually wins. you could see someone like this being named as a VP.
She'd be
candidate.
A great VP for that, yeah.
Joe Kennedy, representative from Massachusetts. You got the name? You got anything else? I don't think so, right?
No, all you have is the speech sweat night, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lip balm night.
Lip balm night.
Isn't that
night.
Him?
I don't know.
I think that was him, wasn't it?
He's the lip balm guy? Yeah. Okay, there we go. Seth Moulton, he is a U.S. representative from Massachusetts, was in the Marine Corps. Known for pushing hard to get more veterans to run for office. He has pushed back against Nancy Pelosi. He's been to New Hampshire and Iowa. Mm. You know, I don't know. I mean, again, probably in the outside picture for a VP. That's about
maybe.
It. Beto O'Rourke, as you have to consider, probably at this point, oddly a top-tier candidate.
Yeah.
He is a U.S. representative from Texas.
Sure is.
Famously lost to Ted Cruz by less than 3 points. They did like him. He was a good campaigner. I mean, he did a good job. He very, very liberal, way too liberal for Texas. But when it comes to mainstream Democrat right now,
I love him.
Probably right there.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
He's one that could really make a damage. He's probably yes to all of these questions. Could he run? Almost definitely. Could he be the VP? Oh, definitely. Could he be the nominee? I think the answer to that is yes. Could he beat Trump in the right circumstance? The answer is probably yes. Again, I think that it depends on what happens with the economy. I don't know how he would react to that sort of pressure. Cruz is not the guy who brings it like Trump does. So I don't know I don't know how that would go. But it's not impossible. Not impossible. Again, we're just trying to eliminate people. Tim Ryan from Ohio, a state senator that's there, now U.S. representative. He's been critical of Pelosi. He's one of those Rust Belt guys. I don't think so. Eric Swalwell does look like he's going to run. He's 37 years old. He's the U.S. representative from California. Most famously, recently, he talked about nuking the United States in case people had guns.
I was just trying to think. I know this name. Yes. The nuke guy.
It does look like he's going to run, I will say that. Again, I don't think he's a yes on any of our questions. Above that, though, he's not going to be. I don't think he's a VP candidate.
Trump will just spend the entire time beating him up for wanting to nuke the Second Amendment.
Right.
It'll be the end.
I guess. I mean, he doesn't. Again. When you're on Twitter making ridiculous comments like that, you're saying Swalwell is the perfect example of what I was talking about. A guy who is not known nationally, wants to be known nationally, and is using a run for the presidency as his opportunity to get known that way. So he's trying to raise his profile. Maybe this leads to him running for Senate or governor of California at some point.
Most definitely.
You know, that is what you're trying to do. You're not trying to become president as a 37-year-old congressman running. With his profile. That's just, it's not even what he's attempting.
I mean, he does anything he wants in California if he wants to nuke gun owners.
Yeah, it's true. It's odd, but true. Steve Bullock, he's the governor of Montana. He is a red state Democrat, and that's a profile that a lot of people on the left are looking for and saying, hey, if we pick a crazy liberal, we're going to lose again. Instead, we need to pick someone who comes from a red state, who can talk to the middle of the country a little bit, who can say, hey, I understand that maybe not all gun owners are terrorists.
Right.
Do you think, I mean, he's visited the early states. He definitely seems like he's going to run. A VP candidate is probably in the picture for him. Again, though, the profile probably not high enough. Andrew Cuomo, just reelected in New York. I think Cuomo's got a lot of corruption issues he's going to have to deal with. I don't think
he thinks an awful lot of himself.
And nobody loves Andrew Cuomo more than Andrew Cuomo. But I don't think there's a legitimate chance he could. I don't think there's. He could run. I don't even think he's going to run. But he could run. I don't think he could be VP or nominee or any of that. I don't think.
No.
Again, how many freaking New York people do we have to run? Can we get another state to do anything? I mean, what is this? Both parties are running New York people all the time. I was born in the state, and I don't want another New York president. We've had enough. We've got one right now. We've got him. He's in office. When he decides to leave office and that's over, let's go to another state. How about that? John Hickenlooper.
I love John Hickenlooper.
You do. No. I say no because of the name.
No, there's no way Hickenlooper. No.
You just can't have a president Hickenlooper.
No.
I just feel like it just doesn't work. Like if 24 had a season where the president, his last name was Hickenlooper, it would not work as a season.
No, because it just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't sound right.
No,
I don't know why. That's not fair. I understand that.
No, Hickenlooper is a grocery store in Illinois somewhere.
Now, what Politico... Hickenlooper would be a great place to get chicken cutlet.
You get those at Hickenloopers, they're the best ever.
That does feel like a grocery store. You're right. You walk into Hickenloopers, they've got great produce. It's on sale. Organic on the left. I feel like that's possible. what Politico says he's known for is he's a centrist. He's a business-oriented governor, but he led the way on gun control. And I do remember him from the gun control debate. He is super far left on that issue. So that's interesting. He is big friends, by the way, with John Kasich. Now, Kasich is not on this list.
But he wants to run.
But, I mean, look, he's you think he's at least exploring a run.
Yeah, he's,
if he can justify a run, he will do it against Trump.
And he'll justify it anyway.
Probably as an independent, right?
Yeah, he said he was looking at an independent or a third party.
Yeah.
I mean, or a third. Okay, stop it, John.
Yeah. I mean, look, Kasich has no chance of winning. But also is the thought here, though, is Kasich Hickenlooper or Hickenlooper Kasich running as a unity candidate.
I want that ticket now. I do. I'm voting yes to this ticket.
But the bigger question is, do you get your stakes at Kasich's or Hickenloopers? Because I feel like both of them. Okay. Jay Inslee, he's the governor of Washington. He was a U.S. representative, currently the chairman of the Democratic Governors Association, big climate guy. That's kind of his thing. I don't think climate's a path to the White House, though.
Nope.
Al Gore could maybe answer that. But, you know, Gore had to run two terms as a VP to even get in the picture to be president. And he's really the main guy on that issue. And I just don't think you can't be a one issue guy on climate. People don't care enough. They say they care, but they don't care.
And was he that bad when he was running?
Gore?
Yeah.
Well, no, he tried to run a little bit towards...
I don't remember him being as bad as he became.
I remember going back and looking at his old books, and that's where a lot of the stuff you found, the really crazy stuff. It's like, oh, he wants to get rid of all cars. Right. Like, wait, all right, I don't think this is... Okay, Terry McAuliffe, big Clinton ally, former governor, he's current governor, excuse me, of Virginia. He used to be he's a former DNC guy.
Yeah.
Real political insider, Hillary guy all the way. I think he could run... I can't imagine they go down this road. This is essentially running a male Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that's a good idea for the Democrats. And I don't think they're going to go that way.
No, the Clintons need to be gone.
Basically a Clinton.
Yes.
He's basically a Clinton. And so I would say no.
Say the Clintons make the Democratic Party untouchable.
Yeah, we're talking about the Democratic nominees, a big list of them. Which ones do you think have a chance? Which ones are not even serious competitors? Martin O'Malley, I mean, he couldn't even win last time when there was three candidates. There's going to be 30 this time. He has no chance.
No way.
Deval Patrick, I don't think has done a good enough job as the governor of Massachusetts. He's, you know, also with Bain Capital, and he's done all sorts of stuff. He's a close Obama ally. But I feel like it's not out of the question, but I still think unlikely. We still have people a bunch of big names left here in the Democratic docket. Let's go through more. 888-727 Beck is the phone number. Whew, man,
think how they feel.
I mean,
this
is a big list, but it's a bad list.
Yeah,
I mean, there's not a lot in here. This is not a deep bench. There's a lot of people who want to run, not a lot of people who should.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Another specifically curated story for Jeffy, because I'm so nice to you.
Of course, dear.
There was a terrorist threat that happened at a chicken place.
Right now you've made me angry. I mean, why is terrorists starting to affect chicken places?
Yeah.
This country has gone down.
Well, this one's a little bit different. Arthur Posey's a 30-year-old. He was booked on charges in connection to a bomb threat after his story.
So he was arrested for this?
Yes.
Okay.
It was in New Orleans. It was at a Willie's Chicken Shack. People heard him talking about blowing up the restaurant, or at least part of it. At the Canal Street restaurant, and I had an interesting excuse.
I mean, I understand.
No,
if he's threatening to blow up the place,
like whether they didn't give you enough chicken.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's not what this is about.
Okay.
He has a specific excuse. According to the warrant, the restaurant's manager said a man later identified as Posey went into the restaurant and approached the food preparation area, then asked her what time the restaurant closed. She told the man she did not know when the restaurant closed, the manager told police. The manager stated the man, who wore a green hat, blue jacket, and carried a white bag, said, "Y'all about to close right now because I'm going to get a bomb and blow this place up." You're laughing, but that's a
little
serious.
Scary. That's a little scary.
It's a serious threat.
Absolutely scary.
The manager told police she took the threat very seriously, as I think most people would.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to smile.
Notified the general manager, who instructed her to call police, and they did, and they got this guy arrested. Now, his excuse, I think, was It was very interesting, and this is why I brought the story up, because in reference to you. Posey claimed to the officer, when he was confronted about this, that he told a male employee he was going to blow the bathroom up in reference to a bowel movement.
Okay, A. How does a girl not know what time the restaurant? She's working there. How does the girl does not know what time the restaurant closes?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know.
But she's still employed there by calling the bosses, saying somebody's trying to blow up the place. Call the police.
I don't know why you're focusing on this.
How do the police actually arrest this guy? Although I've been pulled over by New Orleans police before in my life.
Shocking.
And they're fine officers.
Okay.
Fine officers.
Good to know.
I can understand how they would arrest someone making the about to blow this place up.
Blow the bathroom up? I mean, who is that? Not to mention, what a repulsive thing to say inside of a restaurant to somebody. Like, I mean, it's always a gross reference.
It is.
But to say it, you know, in a restaurant.
You're about to close now.
Yeah. So they, by the way, they didn't believe him. It was the way this ended. They think he actually did make a terrorist threat, and his cover story is the bathroom thing.
Did he have explosive devices and stuff on him in the bag or anything?
No, it does not appear that he actually was going to bomb the thing. But you can make a bomb threat and get him in trouble for it without actually bombing somebody. There are bomb threats. You're not supposed to make bomb threats, right? So that is, I guess, what they're saying he did. And
that's kind of bad.
I don't know how they could check to see. You know, I mean, I don't want to know.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.